Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the LOA Blend. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. How's everybody?
A little tired, to be honest. A little tired.
It's a seasonal transition. Lots of things are in the air. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's a brief moment for everybody to collectively catch their breath. There's just been so much chaos that we're all forgetting to sort of relax those shoulders. You know, we're just sort of in fight or flight mode always.
Yeah.
Like that's the new baseline, which is, you know, not great. And to come back to ourselves. So it's exhausting.
Yeah. In fact, I got a massage yesterday. My aunt and I get massages once a month at least. And the massage therapist, like, she was working on, she basically does a usual type of process, but there are certain areas that she has had to work on that she's never had to work on. So she said that, my shoulders and my chest were really, really tight, and my neck as well.
Yep.
And when she was working on, at the very end, she said, I'm going to stretch out your neck. And when she started doing that, and I had my eyes closed, that purple color that I tend to see when I when I meditate or when I feel like I'm really close to source, it's really interesting. But that was definitely around when she was stretching out my neck, particularly my left side, because that's what she started with. I thought, wow, I didn't realize how tense everything was. And I can still kind of feel, well, definitely like in my shoulders and upper chest area, like really, really tight. So, I don't know. It's just very interesting. I don't normally, usually I'm just chatting. Like when I get massages, like we sit and we chat, and there's probably a few minutes where I finally like relax and get quiet. But yesterday when I noticed she was working on, like different areas where she doesn't spend that much time. And I'm like, is that a knot? Is that a knot that I'm feeling? She's like, yeah, that's what that is. So, I'm like, but it's been busy. It's been a busy time. And then to have it kind of show up physically is interesting.
Yep. Well, what it is that, you know, all these things that have been lying dormant inside of us, a lot of those things are being activated. So it's not like it's anything new. It's not like, oh no, what just happened? What did? Because you know, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to blame ourselves. Oh, what did I do? I messed up. No. These have all been every possibility lies dormant within. Every possibility, this is why all things are possible, because every possibility lies within. For many lifetimes, it can remain dormant and unactivated and inactive, and you can not even know that it exists, or all of a sudden, when you get past a certain point, where there is just no more energy, no more surplus energy for compensation or adaptation, you know, it's always about survival of the fittest, then something shows up that was always there.
Right.
So that's what's going on, and that's what's happening with a lot of people. So it's not like, oh, where did that come from? Everything comes from within. So, that came from left field. No, actually, it didn't. Is that interesting? You know, that cliche. That came from left field. It really didn't. It's all there, available. So we don't even know. But the good news is in that awareness to understand that you're not being overpowered by outside forces.
Mm.
But there is a difference, not that I want to go down a rabbit hole here, but there is a difference between that self-knowledge and awareness and then dealing with outside issues such mm. as entities and things of that nature. That's a whole other kind of show. That's a whole other show. That's a whole other show. Right. But when it comes to that knowledge of yourself, then that's just, okay, it's always been in there. All the reserves are gone. So this is the go-to. This is adaptation. With me, it manifested itself, and now I have low-grade anxiety. Never had it. With all the trauma and all the PTSD and all the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, until I got tapped out.
Mm.
And it took decades, because I'm great. It took decades for me to get tapped out. So now I manage it.
Mm.
That's it. So I go to acupuncture every 2 weeks now. And I meditate.
Yeah.
I do all the things. I meditate. And also, brand new exploration, I stumbled upon, and I love when I stumble upon people and teachers and whatever, like Matt Kahn, huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love when I stumble. And there, I actually pre-ordered this guy's book, and I listened to his podcast, and his name is, I want to make sure I get it right. I believe it's Anthony Michael. Let me make sure that that's right. And he is a medical medium. So his whole thing is that spirit gives him information way before, like cutting edge information decades before, like the medical, that is like the mainstream conventional medicine has it. I'm just going to make sure that I am going to Google him right now to make sure that I'm doing the right name. I'm almost Anthony, or because I don't know if it's Michael Anthony. Anthony Michael Medical Medium. Yes, it's Anthony Michael Medical Medium. Anyway, I'm all over him. I am all over him because there are things that he had come across like 10, 15, 20 years ago that now conventional medicine is saying, oh, yes, thyroid is associated with Epstein-Barr or whatever. Anyway, I am fascinated. He has a show on Hay House, but he also has the same show as a podcast, which I now subscribe to. And I listen to in the archives to the topics that are for interest of me. And he even had a show about angels, which was fascinating. But the healing power of food. And he loves conventional medicine, and he loves alternative medicine. And he is all, and I follow him on Instagram and Twitter, and he's all about the power of food, all over it. So he has a book that I actually have pre-ordered that I'm going to, okay, well, Steve, if you're listening to this, I'm going to, the cat's out of the bag, that I'm pre-ordering to give to my husband as one of his gifts for Christmas. So don't listen to the show, whatever. I'm all over it. For instance, if you have a sweet potato every day for 3 months, you can cure yourself of depression. Hello. So you
I
know
love
I'm
your sweet potato.
You know me. I got my big old bag of organic sweet potato, and I'm like having one every day. Love them. Love them. But yeah, and he has great blog, all over it. And there was something that he said that really, I love this, that he was talking about where a lot of myths and fallacies, and of course, yeah, we expect to hear conventional medicine attacked all the time, sure. But what I really loved what he said about the alternative medical community, and I know we've been sort of drinking this Kool-Aid a little bit, we can't help it, in our ignorance. The whole thing, it's a whole fallacy that, you know, that you attract your disease. it's your fault that you got, you know, that blame, the shame. The way that he described that was so compassionate and so interesting, and I'm just getting to know him now, so I can't really speak on and claim everything that he's saying, but I just really love that he just shut down that whole myth of that in the alternative medical community, that it's a little bit shame-based. Well, you know, you manifested that disease. You attracted that. Because he's like, that's shaming and that's judging. And it's not that.
Mm.
And I'm like, yes, I love you. Because that puts us into a whole other rabbit hole of shame, blame, and self-recrimination.
Right.
But that is a proponent. It's a big cry. It's a big slogan of the alternative medical community or the spiritual community. There's a little, you know what I mean? Like, I love that, and that kind of does this a little bit too, you know what I mean? Like, to sort of call things out. And, you know, where it goes kind of too extreme. But anyway, I think you'll like him.
I put the link in there. It's medicalmedium.com.
Yeah, he's great.
And so I have the site up, and I'll take a look at it. This is good because I'm like the worst person when it comes to listening to other people's podcasts or, you know, just keeping up with anything. I mean, I just don't. And so when you mention it, you know, it could take like 3 years before I should click.
Yeah, but you come around. You come around.
You know, I'll have to pace myself. You know.
Eventually, you'll see my movie on Netflix. It's still there waiting for you to
see
it.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank
I'll
you.
Be like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I should see this movie.
Like 6 years ago.
Yeah, I should see it. Okay. And you're gonna be like, oh my god, that was so good. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I'm like the Consumer Reports for like cool stuff. So what's great is that I don't look for anything. It always finds me, and I trust it that much more. And even if it's not something that I totally stick to or subscribe to, it's part of the journey to get me to that topic, modality, whatever, information point of ultimately where I'm really resonating and getting a lot out of it. But one thing with the medical medium, Anthony Michael, which I want to do every day I started, he's all about the power of just straight celery juice. That is the go-to.
You've mentioned this before.
I did, but not through
celery.
Him. I mentioned it, but not through him, where it was all these miraculous healing, whatever, and then hearing him, and he has even volumes more to say about it that I'm like, oh, so I am now buying the organic celery, and if you don't do it through a juicer, it's actually easy to do it through a power blender, and then you can easily strain it. Like, you don't feel like, oh my god, I gotta get this juicer out, I have 10 parts in 10 different places in the kitchen and I have to put it together. If you know, you're in that, and I'm all about the power blender because I use it every day, smoothies, etc. You can do the celery juice. Yeah, I am all over him, and just very, very understanding of human nature. He's like, get it, got to eat those chips. I get it. However, you know, but he's very, very, very down to earth. And since he was 4 years old, spirit just started talking to him. And he talks about this a lot on every podcast. He says, if you don't know who I am, this is how I started. So if you listen to him, he says this all the time. But basically at age 4, he said his grandmother had lung cancer, and 3 weeks later she was diagnosed with it. Like, he just hears this voice, just like you would hear a voice of somebody having a conversation with you. And his whole life is devoted to this. And he sounds like a freaking doctor. Like, he talks about stuff, like he sounds like a doctor when he the clinical names of diseases and all of that, and he talks about how, you know, we're just blamed. For instance, I found it very interesting where, you know, it kind of validates, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid if something has a name. Well, X2-3.9 disease is da-da-da-da, or, well, you have autoimmune. Autoimmune doesn't mean anything. Basically, it's the medical community blaming yourself, saying your body is attacking itself. So we're going to call it this, lupus. There are so many mystery ailments. But like the alternative New Age community, we get blamed for it. Shame on you. You get shamed. Even by the spiritual community, you get shamed, you know, through the good intentions and granola. You still get shamed. Right?
That's going to be the name of our new show. Good intentions and
granola.
It's just
like granola, right?
I like that.
Yeah, that's going to be your solo show. Anyway. Yes. But, yeah. And I'm sipping every day religiously on my water, which has mint and cucumber and ginger and lemon and lime. I drink it all. It's delicious. I love it. I'm craving it. But just our everyday food, and also how certain foods get stigmatized, like bananas, you know? And he's like, no, eat that banana. Like, it really opens you up. And you look at food in a different way. And then, of course, you know, just what we've known forever. But when you listen to him, you kind of pay more attention, like processed foods. Okay, we know. But the way he puts it, I don't know. So, and the thing is, look, it's not like I'm going to avoid all these things or whatever. I'm not going to repress myself. But I am going to look at those whole foods as more active possibilities as opposed to forgetting that they exist. Because I'll do that. Oh, that's an option? What, leafy greens?
Right.
That's an option? Yeah. But yeah, they're an option. Yeah. So anyway, I think you're going to like them. So.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. Uh-huh. I appreciate that. And it has a name as Anthony William. Is that right? Anthony William.
I think it's Anthony Michael.
Well, this is saying Anthony William.
Then it's Anthony. Yeah, whatever it says online.
Medicalmedium.com. Anthony
wait
William.
A minute.
I was looking at that like, wait a minute.
Wait. No. Wait a minute. I think you're right. Let me just make sure. Yeah, Anthony William. Yep. That's it. Yeah,
okay.
Anthony William. Yep. Yeah,
I wonder if Michael was his middle name. That'd be kind of funny if it was.
So, yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah. No, yeah. Anthony
William. All right, I just want to make sure we're talking
about you're right. You're right. Anthony William. I am all over him. Pre-order the book. I am all over him. Sweet potato every day. Yeah. So, he said you have a sweet potato every day for 3 months. Boom. And why not?
So it looks like this book is called Life Changing Foods.
Yes, that's the one I pre-ordered. Yep.
Very interesting. Save yourself and the ones you love with the hidden healing powers of fruits and vegetables.
Love it.
I'm hungry. That sounds good.
Right? All over it. All over it. Yep. All over it.
Well.
Amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. That'll be good. Well, we have a hand raised. I'll get to our friend Lolita in a moment. But the last time we chatted, we didn't get a chance to get. We were busy on Sunday. I didn't get a chance to talk about my aunt. Like just in terms of health, because I signed her up for a bunch of classes through her healthcare provider, Kaiser. Because we took her to the doctor for just a checkup. She had not been in because she had a lapse in coverage, with the whole thing with her work when she retired.
Sure.
Say, by the way, you're going to need to, here's some forms to fill out. They didn't do any of that stuff. So,
of course not.
So she's kind of been without the type of, care that she's used to. So we finally just registered and got everything taken care of. And she went to the doctor And granted, of all the things that have happened in the last, you know, couple of weeks with my uncle passing.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, she's not been as active as she used to be. So she's put on a few pounds, and but
sure,
her blood, like her blood pressure was up, and that was
celery
very
juice.
Concerning.
It will lower it. Straight celery juice will lower it more than the medication, more than anything.
Yeah. So they that was something that has never, she's never had that issue before. In all the years that she'd have.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. You know, we were looking at, she actually has to go back in another week and a half now, to just check on if she's made some changes to what, you know, what she's doing, and because she's like, you know, the doctor wanted her to really get her blood pressure down to a normal rate, and then just see about, you know, the next steps to take for her to drop some of the extra weight that she's put on.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at her thinking, you know, well, you know, I'm pretty much eating the same food she's eating, you know, because she pretty much cooks all the time.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I want to take a vested interest because it's not only my aunt, but it's also me.
Yes.
In the same space. So
right.
I was looking online, and I asked the doctor, I said, is there a nutritionist she can talk to? She's like, oh yeah, you can always, you know, you can always go online and book an appointment and talk to, you know, a dietitian or a nutritionist. And so I looked at all the different classes, and I spent Sunday signing her up. And I talked to her about it before. I didn't want to sign her up and say, hey, by the way, I'm taking you somewhere. But honestly, it gives her something to look forward to.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Someplace to go.
Yep.
So
good for you.
There are different things. Some of it's exercising. Some of it's cooking classes or a cooking
good.
Class. You know? And just getting some information. And most of the things I can go with her for free because it's open to the public. You just have to register.
Mm.
So I'm glad we were able. I mean, I know she was looking at like her own numbers, and was like, "Wow, that's, you know, that's, I wasn't,
yeah.
I didn't realize." Like, she just didn't realize. And but now I feel like she kind of looks at me, because I'll get into these little rants sometimes. I'm like, you know, we can't eat a muffin for breakfast. Like, that doesn't.
Nope.
You know,
this is good. And how funny that I'm talking about this guy and this food.
Right. Mm. Which is why I'm like, So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing is, in this position, I don't want to be the food police for her, because she's like, well, I don't want to cook something.
You can't be the food police for her, but you can be the food police for yourself.
Well, yeah.
Right. And then by association, but, you know, she has to be educated. And the thing is, too, being raised in the Philippines and being used to a certain cuisine, it's no different than being a Latin person or being, you know, having all those cultural influences. It's almost like, how do you find, create healthy versions of the same food, so that she doesn't
right.
feel she's going, you know what I mean, she isn't going from one extreme to the other, or even just to cut portion sizes, you know, by like 20% or something to start, to gently do it.
That's been the issue. It's like, well, so she had to cut down. She had to do like low sodium,
right?
In the short term, you know, which
right.
I think she's done pretty well in the past. But I think it's a combination low sodium portions,
right?
And the fact that, you know, you can't eat eggs every day.
No,
know?
And according to this guy, eggs are really not great at all.
Mm.
Interesting.
So
yeah.
So I mean.
Yeah. Slowly turn the corner, or just introduce, even if she did everything the same, but that she had 12 ounces of straight celery juice every day, it would lower her blood pressure.
Hmm.
You know? Yeah, you got to, start checking this guy out, even looking at his blog or listen to a podcast or whatever. But like little swap outs, she just can't feel like deprivation will kill you.
And that's basically what she was doing. She was like, well, and she would ask me, can I eat this? I'm like, well, you know, is that what you want to eat? And I have to look at, you know, the labels, and like, well, this has a bajillion milligrams of sodium.
The best is to cook things fresh,
you know,
and then you can really regulate.
Right.
if Lolita's in the queue, I know she's going to jump in on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get to it. Let's see.
When am I going to jump in on?
Good morning. We're talking about nutrition and food and celery and just not to deprive yourself.
I don't think the body should be deprived of anything. That's one thing I've learned. If you feel like you got to eat it, you eat it. You know, when you're listening to your body and addressing its needs, that's when you know that you're not just eating out of an emotional aspect.
Exactly.
You know?
There's a very fine line. I think it's a very good point because it's so veiled. How do you distinguish? You know what I mean? And that really comes down to self-awareness. Or even, Elisa, let's say it's something that's canned, you know, rinse it. And then it could be seasoned, you know. But really fresh is fresh and cooking from scratch and smaller portions. But for her to be excited about, how do I take, you know, this typical dish? Like, how do I take the spring rolls that I make and how do I make them healthier versions? They are always healthy versions.
Oh, yeah, they are.
You know, and that might be a fun thing for you to research, actually. You know what I mean? There must be some master chef, some Filipino master chef that knows how to do healthy versions of the foods that are comfort foods. Because right now, she needs to feel comfort. She just lost her baby brother.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be interesting to take baby steps or just to add in certain things. Like, yeah, I'm going to buy almond milk and chia seeds and the cocoa that I love, and I'm going to make chia pudding, you know, make it at night, it's ready the next day, and that's going to be dessert. Mm-hmm. So it's just incorporating, or you know what, I'm going to throw in flax seeds in this, you know, fried rice that she'll never taste or whatever. I don't know. There are ways around it so she doesn't feel that she's being, and maybe I'm just picking this up energetically, I don't know. I don't want her to feel anything punitive.
Well, and that's sort of how she's taking it.
Yes,
the way she knows how to cook, and so the thing is she cooks, you know, she's around, so she cooks. She cooks breakfast. She has a routine,
and
it's great. But then there are times when I've looked at it like I can't, like I really, my body is not going to take that in. Like,
how
I'm not going to eat that.
How's it been for
and
you?
I don't want to, and I don't want to, I don't want to make her feel bad, but I'm like, well, but the biggest thing for me is that as with anybody, you know, you control what you eat. You control what you put into your body.
Exactly.
So if you're not aware that that is what's causing or what's helping to cause some of these issues where, you know, because you just, you know, you're not, if you're sitting around watching TV, which a lot of us do, and especially like with my aunt, because she's not going anywhere, you know, she's not, you know, she's definitely, you know, in a depressed mood right now. Totally understandable.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, she doesn't feel good. She doesn't feel like going anywhere. That kind of weird state where you're grieving and she gets this news.
Yep.
Then she gets this news
about her health.
You know,
so it's like a double whammy.
Health. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to approach it other than, you know, I'm not gonna want to do this. But we did go shopping. We did go grocery shopping, and like, I want her to take an interest in what to do. So she's kind of asking the questions, but there's only so much that I can offer her.
No, and it's not your responsibility. Right.
Right.
So
that's why I was looking.
You don't
want to
be that caregiver where all of a sudden it becomes codependent, and then you fell down the rabbit hole without realizing. But let me ask you, being in the household, how do you feel physically in terms of your health, in terms of weight and all of that? How do you feel? Do you feel that it's affected you because you're being responsible?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, unless I was doing Blue Apron meals, I really don't cook anymore. Because she tends to, you know,
letting her have that joy.
Right.
Like, if I look at my mother's house, my mother would be doing the cooking, not me. I get it.
Yeah. And she's actually not used to doing, like, a lot of cooking every day just for herself because she'll usually make a lot and then she'll just eat that for the next leftovers. But when she was working, there's food where she was working. She really didn't eat consistently. She would almost like starve herself in a way because she just, she don't have time to maybe have some coffee and maybe some toast. And then she'd go to work for an 8-hour shift and there would be something there she could eat. She'd eat something there. And then her biggest meal would be at dinner. When she'd get home, she'd eat something.
Right.
Not a lot, but she'd be tired. And so she really, her eating habits weren't great when she was working.
Got it.
But,
okay.
That was what she was used to. And now she's home all the time.
Yeah.
And she has time to cook. So she cooks a lot. And it's almost like, well, it's too much. It's just you and me, unless, we're inviting a bunch of people over.
Right.
But she's like, oh, but we can eat it later. I'm like, yeah, but that's a lot. That's a lot to eat a lot later, so there's not a lot of fresh stuff. I kind of expect it because my mom did the same thing. The same thing.
It's cultural.
Doesn't know the portions, but the leftovers are still good. But after, there's like everyone has a time limit on exposures, on leftovers.
Yep.
Leftovers
from like 2012, and I'm like, oh no, we had the potato. I have a thing about old food. Yeah, I get worried about that. Yeah, everybody's different.
Right.
That's true.
So after, for me, if I don't eat it the next day, if I'm really, really hungry and it's still there, I may do it a third day. After that, I usually don't.
You and me
because,
both. Yep.
Honestly,
yep.
I'm usually out and about, so I usually have, and I don't ever finish my food. Like, I always get some kind of leftover cake because I can't finish the portions that are usually given to me.
And that's
so
great.
I usually just get something back. And even then, sometimes I don't eat it. And I know on one hand, it seems like, oh, it's wasteful. But on the other hand, it's like, well, that's just not the opportunity that came along
to worry about that.
I mean, I drive back and try to eat my leftovers. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So
right. No, but what I'm
it's a different approach.
It's a punitive, but there's a punitive vibe. And she's also grieving, so it's not really the time to figure out a baseline. But what's good is that you are getting her out and about. You can, like Lolita, said, to be for her to have the and what's there. You're in the house for her to have the influence of nurturing, as opposed to caregiving, and maybe for you to be aware of that. I'm being a nurturer, not a caregiver.
Yeah, because that's a cultural thing, too, where it's automatically instinct.
It's assumed.
It's assumed.
Right.
And that's a flaw that we kind of have, and we don't know that balance. But I share with you, I deal with all three of my parents. There's a conscious choice that they all make, and they'll sit there and tell you, look, you have the ability to do this and this and that. You have this. If it's choice, you continue doing this, this is where it's going to lead you to. So I have to really – there's a boundary for myself even, because if not, that energy will be assumed within me, and which creates, no good health for me. So you just have to figure out, when is enough. The best thing that I would suggest is, if she's in that depression mode, start her day off with lemon water, because it's told, that lemon
– alkaline.
Supposed to help out. Yeah. And then go for walks. And really just talk to her about the emotional aspect, because the older generation, and culture-wise, they don't know how to cope. They cope with everything, with food and work or whatever.
Or punishing
They've
themselves.
Never, ever dealt with their own true emotions at all. They'll just live because they think it's black and white. And I've noticed that across the board. Like yesterday I was talking to my stepdad. I was trying to dig deep to figure out, where all this stemmed from. But, his answer was, well, that's life.
That's life.
We all know.
Hard.
We all know.
How many times have we heard that?
We all know
life
spiritually. Life doesn't have to be hard. You make it hard. But they don't want to deal with those emotions.
But
they don't want to feel
truth.
That pain again.
They say it. Life
right,
is hard.
And that's why they have these illnesses. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to really, if I were you, I would really don't cater to that. Don't be that repetitive cycle. I would, take her on for walks. You know how to pry into those questions. To get her to open up, to let her release, because that's what's going to really help. And we're bigger than that now. We're in a whole different realm where we can be teachers instead of enablers.
Mm.
Yeah, and you know, and I think if you just tell yourself this is an act of nurturing, not an act of caregiving, then that frees you so that you're not going from one extreme, so that you're not confused in your cognitive mind, but in your on a soul level, it's what you want to do, and it's part of your service.
Mm.
And then at the same time, you're serving yourself. And then by example, you know, when to use food to align yourself, body, mind, and spirit, you know, she can do whatever she's going to do, but you could say, would you like to try this? This is actually really good for da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or this is really good for blood pressure, da-da-da, you know, and it could be like a fun thing. Or what did you learn in class? Oh, let's do this recipe together. Let's whatever. But that it's fun and good for you so that you don't feel obligated, because obligation will turn into being trapped real soon. And
absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And you know what that feels like. Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take her to the Global Mall. There's a naturopathic store in there that we all use. And there's one, if she's got blood pressure, I'm not sure she does it here, the whole conversation, but there's one, there's a pill in there that takes care of and actually cures blood pressure, but also helps with depression. So
Ooh. We
all take it. Yeah. You could take it for a good 90 days, and she'll probably feel better and be off after that. It makes you feel good.
Oh, get that for her.
So go there, take her to the mall. Go to Global Mall. There's a store called Baba Ramdev. Go in the upper level. You'll see it there. And just talk to your trigger there. It's like, hey, you know, ask the guy to talk about certain things and then, you know, read upon it. And yeah, field
take
trip.
Take her on a field trip
go.
To that store that Lolita's telling you about.
All right. I mean,
cool.
I'm still overwhelmed by all the stuff that has to happen, you know, that I feel like has to happen, because if I'm not the one to do it, then I have to find somebody else to do it to help her, you know.
Right.
We'll always know it's not about finding the help. That's something that was culture. You can do that. You can be the leader. But at the end of the day, that person has that choice whether to continue on that path or not take that help. You're dealing with a whole different generation, man. They don't listen.
Nope.
I mean, so no one's going to be a lifesaver for an adult. They're hard-headed. The only way you can do it is by your own actions.
Right.
I mean, it'll just be real. They are. And the more you cut that cord and you kind of slide, you know, what you have to say in whenever necessary, you'll find that balance. And then they'll start to say, okay, wow, no one's really caring for me. It's like that light bulb clicks on when that happens for some reason.
It's like the what? Like
the light bulb clicks on. Like
yes.
The light clicks
yes.
on
Got it.
When no one's caring for them too much.
Interesting.
Because, you know, they're a child at a certain point, the cycle of life. After a certain age, every parent becomes a child.
Right. Right. Very.
So that need of attention, that need
right.
for caregiving, you know, most it's natural.
Right. Yeah.
You can do it, girl.
Well, I appreciate
you don't need nobody
it.
Else.
I appreciate it.
It's a lot.
No, it's a different situation, because she's sort of been on her own for a while, you know,
right.
And she was the one who was having to take care of her own husband
right.
before he passed away. So she sort of had to do a lot of things, and she was working full time. So it's a definite change. Since
she went from one extreme
year.
To the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing
happened
every
time.
Exact same thing. You work full time,
right.
you're
yeah.
taking care of somebody, that person passes away, then you're on your own. And I think what's really keeping my mother going is that she cooks for my family, and I pick up the food, and it's like a drug deal. We joke about it. And but
that's
I love
so
it.
True. That's
I
what I'm going through right now.
I love it, because I still see the spark of life in her, because she's feeding her family. It's remotely,
yeah.
but she's feeding us. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in. You know, I'm in. I'm working mom. I'm in. And it's when things are of mutual benefit, and that's why I bring it up. So for you to find, Alisa, for all of us, where do we find the mutual benefit? So it's finding, I think that's why the overwhelm comes in, because there's no relief. There's no mutual benefit. So where does it line up that there's a mutual benefit? So maybe there's a mutual benefit if you start changing up your food choices vibrationally and you share them with her,
yep.
it's a mutual benefit. Things of that nature, if it's one-sided, then you get overwhelmed and then you get anxious. So
yep.
that's the key to anybody that says that that's not true with the relationship, that both parties have to get something out of it. They're in an unbalanced relationship. The best balanced relationships is when all parties get something out of it.
It's a mutual exchange on every level.
Mutual, thank you. You put it beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a business contract. I tell that to everybody who laughs at me. I said, a relationship, they're a business contract.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do to help each other?
Exactly.
That's just how it is.
That's
friends,
friendship.
Family, marriages, careers.
Everything.
You know,
yeah, those
but people don't want
to. Joyous. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The resentment comes in when that isn't balanced or it's by obligation.
Yep.
Like a lot of people don't like the holidays because, oh, now I got to cook for people I don't like that I see once a year. What is that?
Yeah.
I actually rebelled this Thanksgiving. I said, I'm not doing it.
Oh, really?
I'm not doing it. Not doing it.
I ain't been watching football. I don't know about y'all. That's what I've been doing for a while.
I'm not doing it.
For the last 8 years.
No, I told my eldest sister who lives in Vermont, because she just thinks, oh, yeah, we're going to come up Thanksgiving. I'm like, well, I'm not doing it. I'm not around. Not doing it. And actually, it was my mother's idea. It's so funny. My mother's like, just say you're doing something. I'm like, ooh. I said, Ma. I said, yeah, we'll do something. Okay. Yeah. So, and it's really funny because even though that's her oldest daughter, she's like, she don't care. Because she sees, it's like, oh, the entitlement, like, yeah, Liz will do it because I'm the only one
right.
with the household now.
Right.
You know, with a department
right.
that can accommodate and all of that. But I'm tired. No. So even if I get a Swanson turkey dinner, I'll keep it moving. I don't care. Turkey rolls. Give me turkey rolls. I don't care.
I think this year I'm going to Philly. I think my 25th year reunion. So I'm going to go. We're going to a high school football game for a reunion. Oh, yes. I'm excited. And we're going to Applebee's for the next day. So, you know what? I'm chilling.
Exactly. I'm going to buy my turkey on Friday. Get that 50% off. Hello. Boom. Yeah. So there.
Call
so,
pizza delivery.
Hello. Whatever is a mutual benefit, that really is the key. When it goes left is when there's not – somebody is resentful. Someone isn't happy. Somebody feels slighted. Somebody feels wronged. Somebody feels entitled.
Yeah.
So that's really the baseline. And if you feel it's preferable to be on your own, then so be it. It's better to be on your own than to be in a dynamic with somebody that you feel the life is just taken away from you. This is why boundaries are so important. And maybe that's what this is about too, because just because you're in the same household, Elisa, doesn't mean it's your burden.
Right.
Oh, you'll learn that real quick, Elisa, trust me. I have a big family. You know, when you go back to that self-worth in you, your boundaries come in real quick, and it comes automatically. It's no control. It automatically happens.
It's true.
Because you don't cater to the nonsense in the world that's around you at all. It really happens automatically when you internally get it. I tell them, you like, I love it. I'm keeping it moving this way.
That's when you get thugged out.
Yeah, well, it took, you know, when you're the oldest in the family and you're helping everybody and those people don't want to help themselves and you're like, well, man, you just like, I'm fighting for you, but you're not fighting for yourself. I'm done. And it took me to that boiling point after my kidney surgery. So 2002, I was done. It was all about Lolita, and that's when my journey started.
Well, you literally gave a piece.
Yeah.
You literally sacrificed a piece of yourself. I actually just went to a wake of my friend's mother had passed away. She was 93 years old. My friend is just turned 50. She was the caregiver her whole life. The mother had her late in life. She has siblings that are much older. And she was the most devoted daughter, but she lost herself in the process. And I'm like, you know what? This is your time to be selfish. This is your time, which is a beautiful thing. This is the time for you to do you. And she basically sacrificed marriage, children. It was that archetypal, you have the youngest child, female child, late in life so that they take care of you. Very archetypal,
yep.
Very cultural. You have the spinster,
right,
you have the spinster daughter, boom. And archetypally, that's what happened to my friend. And then her mother developed Alzheimer's. And basically for the past 15, 20 years, she was the total, complete, consummate caregiver. And I love the Jewish people. It's like, boom, 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 sit in a cardboard box, eat some food, keep it moving, done. They're not Jewish. They're Puerto Rican. So open casket. You see laughing because, yeah, they were loud, open cat. It was, and I'm like, I'm sitting in the back. I'm like, she looked great. I can't go too close to a dead body. I pick up on too many things, whatever. Her mother did look beautiful. Her mother did not look dead at all. She looked beautiful. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, she looked amazing. And I go to my friend. And I know my friend for almost 30 years now. I've met her when she was super young. And, of course, there's nothing to say. I just held her. And the sounds that were coming out of my friend, I'm like, who gives it? Beep! What anybody thinks, you have to do this, you have to release. The most primal sounds, they were so, I mean, it would probably go with the frequency of that frequency of the earth. It just that it was such a soul level. It was so primal, so animalistic. I don't know how many minutes I held her, but I just knew that's what I had to do. Like, not even say anything. What am I going to say? What are you going to say? Your mother died. What are you going to say? Just letting her, and we were on the phone later, and just with this whole shift of perception, she lost herself. She lost herself through that obligation. And kind of like your aunt, Elisa, what do I do now?
Mhm. Mhm.
You know, what do I do now? I said, girl, you got the. This is intermission. You got act two. You got the second half of your life is waiting for you.
Mhm.
You have possibility now. You are free. It really was like a jail sentence. I mean, she loved her mother. She did it happily, but it was obligation. And the rest of her family, they didn't even think twice about throwing my girl to that. She was all alone.
Mm.
So it's very subtle. Where all of a sudden it's insidious. Where all of a sudden it's like you wake up and you're like, oh my God, this is my life. What happened? And that's what happened to her. What was supposed to be temporary turned into a lifetime of caregiving.
Wow.
That's not you. And I know that you know that. Or you won't let that be you. But that fine line, what's nurturing, what's caregiving.
Right.
But then you have to be the caregiver to nurturing to her, but caregiving to yourself. Giving yourself care. It's hard when there's culture and family expectations, assumptions. Lots of assumptions are being made.
Culture is assumption. Yeah.
Go ahead, Elisa.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I know that there's a pattern here. That's partly why I'm here, you know, mm-hmm. because I know that that's, It is part of what I enjoy doing. It's like, oh, how can I help? And I realize, whoa, wait a minute.
Right, like I can do it. So what? You can do lots of things.
It's the ongoing, you know. But I could do it, but should I?
That's your habit.
So,
But it's good because awareness, the fact that you're aware, you know how many people aren't aware, and that's just, they just think that's how it is, and boom, 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 boom. And, you know, so the fact, I mean, awareness is the key because no one's drowning anywhere. But then how do you not, force a change on anyone, but it's by your energetic example within yourself that others will follow suit, being true
right.
to yourself and not feeling responsible. You can be an advocate, obviously, for your aunt, but to not be the archetype of the youngest child only coming into the earth to be there to take care of the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
That was planned back in the day. They used to do that. Well, let me push one out before I hit menopause. I hope she's a girl. Hope she's a girl. So women, you know, well into their 40s, they'd have the menopause baby. Hope she's a girl. And that was senior care.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but that's true.
Mm.
Archetypal.
So
how about you?
Yeah. So your aunt, to me, like, you know, that the duty that she had with her husband and taking care of, I mean, she really hasn't even dealt with that. So those are all her emotions that are stored in her body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and now it's going to come into
the knees
an illness.
And the blood pressure.
The knees are definitely about inflexibility.
Yeah.
Anyone that has any issues has been inflexible all their life. Yeah.
That's
just the right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're already preparing what you know what you're dealing with, you know? And the blood
mm-hmm.
pressure is all
mm-hmm.
about not letting go.
Yep.
So, you know, she has a lot of work. So the best thing I would do is just, you know, have an open-ended conversation about spirituality and other techniques and helping her heal from all that stuff if she's open, you know?
Well,
because, listen, I don't mind doing
part.
All the healing.
No, that is the tough part because it's the communication is very difficult.
It has to be energetic. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Elisa. It has to be energetic. So let's say, you know, maybe it's easier for you to go to the store that Lolita said. It'd be fun for you. You know what I mean? Just for things that you're interested in for yourself. And then you pick up a supplement, you know, for your aunt and to say, oh, look, you know, this is all natural. You should try this. This would be good. And just like baby steps, you have to see how receptive she is because it is about communication.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, I found this recipe how to make, you know, lumpias, you know, vegan lumpias. I mean, that's a little extreme, but you know what I'm saying. but there are healthy versions of every kind of food, and I bet you there's some amazing Filipino evolved chef out there that can do healthier versions. Let's try it like this, and this is good for da 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 da. I don't know, but baby steps. And it's not you. There's nothing for you to fix.
No, that's one thing you have to realize. You're not going to fix nobody.
Right.
And
I learned
broken.
That the hard way.
Nothing's broken. So I love it. It's like Lolita, she's just co-hosting with us because I didn't even say, oh, what's going on? I just threw you in the conversation. But how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I mean, I could definitely relate to the story because, you know, I have three parents. So it's like I get it.
That's why I wanted to bring you in. And I just also want to say I loved that at the end of the show on Sunday that you and Adam called in. I thought that was so wonderful.
Yeah,
so thank
cool.
you. Yeah. Thank
no,
you for that.
You're welcome.
It was a nice
thank
way
you.
To celebrate our 6 years being on the air. It was like very full circle moment. We had like our tried and true listeners. Jay called, Gwen called, you guys did. That was very, very special. It was just nice to have that week flow. But that was very sweet of you to think, oh, yeah, let's call the show and bring Adam on. So thank you for that. So.
No, you're welcome. He was up. He was helping me run the store on Sunday, actually. So it was like a last-minute thing. So he held it down for me until I got back.
Nice. See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're finding ways. We're all finding ways. I would love, just based on this conversation, what's going on, maybe since you're here, Lolita, I think just a message for everybody who's listening, just a general message. Would you mind picking it for us, Lisa? Or, I mean, Lolita?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so she don't do music, people. So we're gonna have a couple of seconds of silence. But this is just an energetic message for all of us. All right, so I'm ready when you are, Lolita. Just say pick, and we'll read your message for everybody.
Pick.
Okay. So the number for this, Elisa, is 924. Oh, this message is perfect for everything we were talking about. Here it is. Allow the silence of healing to take the time needed to do the long-term work necessary to align patterns into the wisdom of transformation. Isn't this what we're talking about since the freaking show started? Oh, Lord, Mary, Joseph, Jesus. I'll read it again. We'll put Krishna and Buddha in there too. 924. Lord, allow the silence of healing to take the time needed to do the long-term work necessary to align patterns into the wisdom of transformation. And oftentimes, when things are about the energy of transformation, it feels like no transformation is possible. It appears, the illusion is that it seems like there's no transformation in sight, or that's even an option. Do you know what I mean when I say that, Lolita?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like an illusion. And that's when transformation is so imminent, and just it's behind such a thin veil. The veil is so much thinner than we think. But this message is so spot on, Lolita, so thank you for picking it. And the number is 924, so I'll turn it over to Elisa.
I like how the number starts with a 9, where there's a lot of transformation in a 9, because it seems like everything's ending.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So we go from this 9 to the 2, which is being cooperative and receptive to the things that are happening and realizing, you know, there are opportunities within this change and this major transformation. There are opportunities still to help and to be of service. And to, if you understand what the bigger picture is, which is what the 9 is, then it's not about going against it, but seeing, you know, well, not exactly where does my role fit in, but, you know, what could I be doing? Like, in light of all of this and where it's headed, what do I need to be doing? And there are a lot of different options. A lot of it could be on the external, like, what can I be doing with this group? Or a lot of it could be internal, like, what can I be doing for myself to help?
Right.
And then that last part is this 4, which is now establishing a new foundation based on this major transformation. What is the new foundation? A lot of the core is still going to be there, but I think there's going to be some tweaks in looking at what you're, you know, what you're made of, what your goals are now, and what you're building towards. There's still a forward motion involved in this, but it's pausing to look at what you actually have within you and where you could possibly take it. So that 4 is sort of looking at that, but it's from an elevated viewpoint. And then, you know, the overall number from this, the vibration here is a 6, which is still love.
Right. So, there you go.
I think that's a good message for all of us, because I know for myself, I still have my parents here, so it's like the first week, it was like, it went down. I'm like, oh, crap, I guess I have a lot more work to do.
Well, we always do. You know, we always do. And the message is just so perfect, because it is long-term work, you know. And Elisa, you know, it's always been the theme of patterns, so that it's not even dissolving patterns, but aligning patterns. It's like the top of the show, like, all these things, you know, talking about when you had the massage or the low-grade anxiety that I have or whatever, it's like all those things are in there, but if they're aligned, you know, then the patterns serve as footholds for transformation, but we don't even know about the transformation because of the wisdom that's because of the journey. And the wisdom only comes from knowing what was.
Yeah.
And seeing the difference, seeing the other side. So this is a perfect moment. It's 9:30 to sign off unless anyone's waiting for us. Or are we good?
No, we're good. We're good.
Well, listen, thank you for being our guest co-host, Lolita. I love that.
No, no problem.
Love
it.
Love it.
So and I will be working on Thursday. I have to do a tour. So Anna is going to run the controls on Thursday.
Okay, so I'll do the show with Anna. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows hosted programming available to you. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And thanks for a wonderful show, as always. Thank you, Lolita. And in the meantime, remember to follow
the feeling
to you. Have a great day, everybody. Love you.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.